So Lord, we give thanks for Joe and his preparations for today. We pray that you speak through him and move us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mel. Morning all, and I cannot believe that we're in December already and into the second week of Advent. But here we are with the famous story of John the Baptist, which I find that I'm down to talk about for the second year in a row. As I said, we're in a period of Advent, and it might be quite useful to briefly remind ourselves again what Advent is all about. Before looking at this morning's readings, especially from Mark and 2 Peter, especially with the meaning of Advent in mind. So Advent, to put it very simply, Advent is about preparing us for Christmas. It's to enable us to realign our focus on Christmas, on the real meaning of Christmas. Or to put it another way, preparing us for Christ entering into our world. It is reminding us of the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago, the start of the story that ultimately leads to the resurrection through the cross. But Advent is also a time for us to welcome God into our lives, into our everyday lives, into every part of our lives, whether for the first time or for the umpteenth time, because of the resurrection through the cross. And Advent is also a time for us to prepare for Christ's second coming and to equip us for this time of waiting. This is Advent, a season of hope, looking, remembering Christ coming into the world and how Jesus completely and utterly transformed the history of the world. And how Jesus can completely and utterly transform each of us personally, if we allow him. And also looking forward to when, not if, but when Christ comes again to complete this transformation. So it is within this context that we now turn to this morning's readings. The Gospel of Mark doesn't pull any punches with its start. Chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is straight in there. Here, he, Mark, is making a definitive statement. God, in the shape of Jesus, coming into human history. This is new. It is a beginning. But it's a beginning, remembering the beginning to be found in Genesis. So you could call it a restart, and it all gets going with Jesus. And Mark recognizes this restart, that it's been built upon something, because the next line says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Mark links the good news of Jesus with the prophets of the Jewish tradition by saying, as it is written in Isaiah. Actually, it is more accurate to say, as it is written in Exodus, Isaiah and Malachi, but I guess that doesn't read as well. What is more important is that Mark is announcing that this good news has been prepared by God for many, many years. It has always been God's plan, and here it is. Enter into this passage, John the Baptist. His calling, preparing the way, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, making the path straight, wearing clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and eating locusts and wild honey. Even the description of John the Baptist harks back to the prophets of old. This good news has been prepared by God for many, many years. It has always been in God's plan, and here it is. And the way John does this is by preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Baptizing in the Jordan harked back to when the Israelites first crossed into the promised land. But baptizing like this, well, this was a new thing. And the purpose? Preparing the people for someone who would come after John. One more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John's whole being was to prepare the way for a new era, a gospel era, a good news era. Now, of course, Mark was writing this from the viewpoint of the complete story of Jesus Christ being established and well known. What I mean is that the whole of the Gospel of Mark is there for us who weren't present whilst Jesus was alive on the earth. And it's to prepare us for allowing God into our lives, to rule every dimension and aspect of our lives if we are willing. The gospel was written with a number of intentions. Obviously, it was written to document what actually happened. And this is important to remember, that we are dealing with a historical fact. It's not fiction. Mark establishes that there is a continuity with God's previous works in the world, such as the Isaiah quotations at the beginning of the gospel. And Mark's gospel, this good news, is allowing us to prepare to be called into discipleship and into continuing discipleship. The ESV version of the Bible states the key themes of Mark as: Jesus is man. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of Man with all power and authority. Jesus as the Son of Man must suffer. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus calls his followers to imitate him in humble service, self-denial, and suffering. And finally, Jesus teaches on the kingdom of God and implies that God continues to call a people to himself. The whole of Mark's gospel can be easily read in one sitting, certainly over a period of a week. So may I humbly suggest that in this period of Advent, we at least take time to read Mark and ask ourselves, how are we to prepare ourselves this Advent? Keeping especially in mind those last two themes of Mark. If we are long-term followers, let us all ponder, think, about Jesus calling his followers to imitate him in humble service, self-denial, and suffering. And if there are some of us that don't yet follow, please take time to think about what Jesus teaches on the kingdom of God and the implication that God continues to call a people to himself. And then ask yourself, well, does that include me? To paraphrase the Mark reading from this morning, God is coming, get ready for it, get baptized, get repenting, and ask. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As I said earlier, Advent is about looking, remembering Christ coming into the world and how Jesus completely and utterly transformed the history of the world, and how Jesus can completely and utterly transform each of us personally if we allow him. But Advent is also looking forward to when, not if, but when Christ comes again to complete this transformation. And the reading from 2 Peter this morning is concerned about this. Right. Now, I think I might give my age away a bit now. You see, I remember when I was of primary school age in the early 80s, we were told that Johnny Morris was coming to visit the village that coming Saturday. For those of you who do not know who Johnny Morris was, you missed out. Mr. Morris was a TV presenter, especially on children's television, who would give human voices to animals in his programme called Animal Magic. Well, for me and my friends at that age, he was magical, and he was coming to our village. So on the Saturday, about 9 a.m, I started to wait for the man. Well, 9 went to 10. 10 went to 11. 11 went to 12. By the time it got to 4 p.m, I did start wondering, would he ever turn up? But at 4:30, Johnny arrived at last and promptly drove past me and strolled down the road. But I didn't care. I saw him, even if it was just fleeting. And that was the same for the people that Peter was writing to in this letter. They weren't waiting for Johnny Morris, but I wouldn't blame them if they were. But they were waiting for the promise of Jesus coming again. And it had been about 30 years since Jesus had departed the earth. And these followers, well, they were being ridiculed about Jesus not coming back. Early in 2 Peter, it says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it had since the beginning of creation. You see, some of those believers were becoming dispirited about the wait, and Peter was directly addressing this issue. Peter explains that to God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter is trying to convey to the people he's writing to that Jesus isn't late. He's expressing to them that periods of time mean something different to God compared to us. And what might seem like an age to them is like an instant to God. So do not despair. It will happen. And it is important to highlight the words is like. Peter could quite have easily said a day is like 10,000 years or 1 million years or 1 billion. Let's keep it simple. Let's just say it's very foolish to try and predict the timing of God. Although it hasn't stopped some from trying. So the Christians Peter is writing to had expected Jesus to have already returned. But I have to say personally, and I'm sure that all of you will agree with me, I'm quite glad that Jesus did not return in their time frame or in the 2,000 years since. Well, for the obvious reason that it gave me a chance of living and of salvation. Peter carries on by saying, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. With the emphasis on the not wanting anyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And this statement still stands true for everyone living today. And wouldn't a perfect father do that? Give his children as many opportunities as possible to get it right. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. how many of us truly think about Jesus' second coming. Come on, let's be honest. We make plans for next week, next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years, etc., etc. You know, this is the fourth week that Jesus coming again has been mentioned in a sermon. And I'm sure that, knowing all you lot, you've been thinking regularly what it might mean since these talks. But for this mere mortal, I have to confess to you now that when regular life got in the way, the promise of Jesus coming again to fulfill the mission, well, has somewhat slipped my mind, despite it being a recurring theme. And to be fair, it is because of the amount of time that has passed since the resurrection and ascension. It's so easy to think of it as something intangible, hard to grasp. But it's real, and it will come sooner or later, because the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. 2 Peter again. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So how do we prepare? Well, fortunately, Martin covered all of this in last week's talk, so I will not go over old ground. But if you did happen to miss it, or if life has got in the way like it has for me, and you've forgotten what was said, well, go back, listen. It's on YouTube. I'm sure you can find a connection through the website. Go back and listen to it. So what's the reward? Well, verse 13 says, in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. Verse 14 of the reading. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. I love this little line, especially the make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace. It doesn't say be spotless, blameless, etc., etc., but to make every effort. It's in our attempting that matters. It shows how our hearts are orientated. Our faith is not a performance-based salvation, but rather it is a salvation-based performance. We make every effort because we are saved. So we have to be expecting Jesus to come again at any time, eagerly anticipating his return, looking forward to when, not if, but when Christ comes again to complete the transformation. So this Advent, let us prepare for the celebration of when Jesus came to the earth the first time. Let us prepare to remember how Jesus has come into our lives and what great things he has done for us and continues to do. Or, for some who might be hearing this message for the first time, why don't you prepare to let Jesus into your life? And for all of us, let us continually prepare for that time when Jesus will come again. So thank you. And let us finish with the final verse from this morning's 2 Peter reading. It says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Amen.